any more serious trace speedy, but they throw such killer parties. Killer parties almost kill me. Killer parties almost kill me.
Whoa, so what I think Craig meant to say there was killer podcast almost killed me. Just kidding, this is killer podcast almost killed me, the podcast that covers the world's greatest bar band, the Hold Steady. Listen as we attempt to cover every single epic live show by Craig, Tad, Franz, Galen, Steve, and Bobby and the boys. So, all right, hello. All
right.
All right, here we go. I am Mike Munzen, aka that dude from St. Paul. You kind of have to know Craig's solo work to get that reference, but
I know some. I'm getting more into it.
So if you guys, you might get that. You probably don't know me from such podcasts as the 70s versus the 80s and Twin Towns Trail Talk, but I'm feeling the positive jam to be here today. And I'm happy to be joined by my co-host, David Grohl. And David, you're currently out of Covington, Kentucky. And
correct.
I got you formally out. You're formally from Wisconsin and the Twin Cities. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I was born in Menasha, Wisconsin, Fox Valley. Went to school at the U, the Golden Gophers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Chicago for grad school. So I was there for a couple of years. And then I was in Milwaukee, back up in Wisconsin, land of Galen. Guitarist. Then the past about 9 years, I've been in the Cincinnati area, particularly Covington, Kentucky, which is right across the river from downtown.
Oh. Wow, sounds like a travel epilogue from a Hold Steady song, is what it sounds.
I covered the whole Midwest, and they're all about that.
Yeah. And David is one of the admins for the Positive Posting fan site on Facebook. So. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're happy to, thanks for joining me today, David. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me. Love to talk about the whole study anytime, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. That's so so that's kind of the concept of this podcast here. Basically we're gonna simply rely on you, the United Scene, the fans, yourself, to give us a report, a Hood Rat report. We're gonna try to cover every single live show. So I'm thinking about calling it a Hood Rat Report, where you just kind of come on here and give us a little report of, you know, like when you go to a show, we're going to tell us all the important stuff, like, you know, talk about the venue, you know, your travel log, getting there, all the crazy stuff when you get there, the set list, we'll cover that, like, important, you know, who spilled a beer on you, you know.
Right? Given that this was all... live over streaming, I spilled beer on myself, but
yeah,
that's okay.
So we started out with the streaming thing, and like another question, you know, like when you go, like, where's the crazy part, you found confetti on you the next day, you know, like that crazy stuff.
I like some people did bring confetti to the Zoom show and did release that at a certain point, so that's pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I suppose it's, you got to vacuum it up yourself then. That's not as fun, that's maybe that's much, but so we'll get all the important deets like that.
Right.
But we're in the streaming COVID era, so we're just gonna, me and David are gonna cover these, and I think we're gonna cover the first three shows here. We're gonna cover the release party for, help me out, David. What am I trying to say? The release party
for the new album. The
open door policy
from Thursday night.
Thursday night at the Brooklyn Bowl,
which was a free event for anyone. Kind of a prelude, I guess, to the weekender that they did Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a free bonus for the new album.
And that was great. That was awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
The thing I miss most about going to these Hold Steady shows is how you meet people in the crowd when you're there. And so now you and I, David, are kind of meeting over this Hold Steady podcast. We actually haven't met before. So I was kind of interested. Where did your Hold Steady fandom start at? Where did that start?
Yeah. I was looking into that a little bit ago. So I guess first discovered them when I was living in Chicago for grad school. I was there from 04 to 08. So I, you know, the first couple albums would have come out during that time. And I was just into indie rock in general, you know, Spoon and, you know, Block Party and just a lot of those indie bands from that era, you know, that came out in 04, 05. So I remember the first time I see them, I'm pretty sure was at Summerfest in Milwaukee, which is the world's largest music festival.
Nice.
Pretty awesome. And I think they were playing on, I don't know if you've ever been as a Minnesota person.
No, I'm not allowed to go outside of the Mississippi. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's fair. That's fair. Just don't drown in the Mississippi.
I drown every time I'm going by. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so Starfest is a lot of fun. I've been there a million times growing up in Wisconsin. So when I lived in Chicago, I'd go up a few times just to Starfest, and they were playing one of the free stages. So it's like $12 to get into Summerfest, and there's like a headliner where you pay regular price, and then a whole bunch of other free stages. And they, I believe, were on one of those. I think it was after Boys and Girls in America, because I knew that album, and I knew the songs they were playing. But I think I saw them the following summer there, which was when Stay Positive came out. I didn't know the songs, but I definitely heard everyone singing the, you know, whoa, 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 whoa. So I immediately got the record after hearing that, of course, had to catch up. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it was up in Milwaukee when I was living in Chicago. So what about you? Was it in their hometown / your hometown?
Yeah, you know, I'm from St. Paul, so we have a little, okay. We have a radio station here called The Current. It's a public radio station. And I still kind of remember, I think I was driving around on Highway 52 and I heard Your Little Hood Rat Friend came on and they go, here's a new song. And I don't even know if I heard the band's name or anything, but and I was just enthralled by it. And they got to the line, now City Center's over, no one really goes there. And that just struck me so hard because he nailed it perfectly, because like City Center was a mall in downtown Minneapolis, and it was a big, everybody, you know, hangs out at the mall. But then the Mall of America opened up in the suburbs, Bloomington,
right.
and he just said that City Center's over, no one really goes there. And I couldn't believe he was that specific, and I couldn't believe how perfectly he nailed it. And they kept playing the song over and over, and I kept listening to it. And this was back, I think I went and paid the 99 cents on iTunes back in those days to put it on my iPod. So I put it on my iPod, and then and I just listened to it, and I was like, oh my gosh. So then, you know, you go and try to get their other songs, and this must have been Separation Sunday. So, and for whatever reason, you know, they put the songs in order of popularity, so they had Chicago Seemed Tired Last Night was the second song. And you remember, I don't know, remember on iTunes, you'd hear that little 30-second sample where you'd push the button and you hear that before you bought it, you'd hear a 30-second sample of the song. Chicago Seemed Tired Last Night wasn't a good venue for that, because it was like, that song, I love the song now, but it has like a big learning curve, I think. And when you're hearing only 30-second snippet of it and you're hearing it on your little crappy laptop speakers, that's not the best way. It kind of reminds me of the new song where Craig makes fun of the nurse for playing Eruption over her as a ringtone. You know, that's not the good way to hear that song, and Craig kind of makes fun of it. And that's kind of how so it took me a little longer to, I'm like, oh, I love this song. I go, it sounds like their other songs aren't for me, but I just love this song. So I kept playing it. But then they were releasing albums so quick back then. I think it was like every 10 months or whatever. That
Boys 2004, 2005, 2006,
And then Boys and the Girls in America came out, and
I still think
that was their most accessible album, where you know, Citrus, you know, I heard Citrus right away, and Stuck Between Stations, and those songs were a little more accessible. So I think once again I bought everything on iTunes. I bought the whole album and just fell in love with it immediately. And then I went back and started getting back into, like, I hadn't even heard Killer Parties at that point. I knew they had two albums, So I went back and started listening to their whole catalog, and just, and then the songs just, some of their songs take a little while to take 4 or 5 listens to get into, but
Definitely. And I'd say the same applies to their new album that just came out a couple weeks ago. That,
that's
you know, a lot of fans are like, well, it's different. Let's, you know, don't judge it right away. Give it some time, you know, let it sink in. Hear what Craig's doing and hear what the horns and the rest of the band are doing. So,
yeah.
yeah.
So it's just, so like one final thing I'll say, it's just funny, like, and you were saying you kind of got into those indie groups at the same time. It's like a phenomenon. People are talking about groups from that era, and I don't know if it affects the hold steady or not, but like the Killers, Linkin Park, and those, the Strokes,
Oh yeah, love the
everybody
Strokes,
put
yeah.
those, everybody put those songs on their iPod, and then a couple years later everybody bought their iPhones, and so a lot of those groups got affected where they're trapped in the top drawer in somebody's iPod. So a lot of those groups from that era are kind of like stuck in Nowhere Island,
That's
There's some groups that we can't even remember right now that are probably stuck on our iPod from that time zone.
That's true. Yeah, I have a couple iPods in the next room that if I dig through, it'd be all stuff from that era, 05, 06, you know, or that's so funny. Yeah, before people switched to the new technology, you know, so that's funny. Yeah, it was a good time for indie rock music, you know. I definitely that couple years there, you know.
That's when it was, that was when it was kicking. So okay, so
Definitely.
you were talking about the new album Open Door Policy. Should we go ahead and give the re Open Door Policy release party, should we go ahead and review it now?
Sure. Talk about the new album, which they played in entirety Thursday night from beginning to end. And they also played a number of the songs Friday and Saturday as well. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you did see, you saw Thursday, Friday, Saturday as well. Is
Yep,
that
I
correct?
saw him. I saw him. And the Thursday night show, I think, was you had to watch it live. I don't think you can go back and watch it right now, I don't think.
That's correct. But the Friday, Saturday, the typical weekender is available until I believe March 15th.
Yeah, because the first night was on, what was it called? Stitch, right? Is that what it was called? Or Twitch?
Now for the gamer kids who are way younger than us, yes.
Yeah, because whatever it was, I know I tried downloading the wrong one. If it's on Stitch, I think I tried downloading Twitch or what have. But anyways.
Okay. Yeah.
But
It's all new to me as well.
it worked. It flowed really well. I thought it was, yeah, I mean, the camera work was great. We could see everybody. So we don't have to go over the set list. The set list was pretty much the album track title, right?
There's the album. Yeah, go on Spotify. It's right there.
So starting out, what are your initial thoughts of that, of Thursday night's show?
I was just happy to hear the album. They had played a couple of the songs before. The album was actually recorded in 19, Craig said. So it was not recorded during the pandemic. Even if some people want to make parallels, not and that's okay if you do, but yeah, it goes back a little bit. Yeah, I believe they had played a couple live, maybe Lanyards. I'm trying to remember at previous shows even before the
Yeah,
shutdown.
the Massive Night Show, is that, yeah, they played back in, when
Yeah.
was that, in December, those shows? Yeah, or early, late November.
December. Like just early
Or
December,
yeah,
they
it's always a week after Thanksgiving, right? Yeah. So yeah, they played Lanyards, and they played wow.
Remember. Yeah.
Did they play Heavy Covenant? I don't remember. They might have played Heavy Covenant. Yeah, they did
Could
play
be.
Lanyards for sure. I know they played Lanyards. That was the second night they played that.
Yeah, that one's better on for a little bit, so.
Okay. So, but this time, like we said, they played them right in a row. So starting out with song number one on the album, The Feelers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I thought, and I was excited to hear the album live and in order like that. Because you usually don't get that. I did go to a 10-year reunion of Boys and Girls where they played the album in its entirety, and then obviously they played like a, a normal hold steady show after that. They
And I'm
played.
pretty sure I saw that in Chicago. I think at Riot Fest. It's I've seen him a million times, as have you, but I'm pretty sure that was at Riot Fest in Chicago that I saw that.
That's funny. I saw it 24 hours before you because I saw it in Denver, and I wanted to go to the Chicago, but I think I had to go to work the next night or whatever. So it was like maybe 48 hours before. I saw it before you, 48 hours maybe, I think. But
that's funny because, yeah, they do one in Denver, they do one in Chicago, and then Toronto? I can't remember. There's a couple. I think there's maybe a third city they do Riot Fest. One of the best festivals out there, so...
Yeah, and I got a story to tell about that. So I don't know if we'll get it on this episode, but I do have a story about going to that show.
Nice.
Okay, so they started with the Feelers, and then they went in, and I guess we can kind of do a little review of the album here too while we're at it. Spices came second, and that's my favorite song so far. I think it's because I love Lifter Polar, and like I heard Craig say in an interview, it's the producer, which his name escapes me, right, he was a Lifter Polar fan, and I think that song sounds very Lifter Polar-ish. Of course Franz has it plays on it, but
of course
so I really like Spices.
Yes, that one's a little bit darker, yeah, which, and I think I heard that line from Craig too, that if they did a Lifter Polar song, this would be it, you know. Mm-hmm.
yeah
with their little bit of their dark post-punk kind of sparse kind of sound. Of course there's times and Spices where it does get more upbeat, but it's definitely, you know, darker in sound than a lot of their stuff.
Yeah,
my wife was commenting on how a lot of their songs have very positive names and positive sounding music, but some of the actual lyrics are pretty dark, you know, whereas the song actually sounds dark.
They kind of, yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Bob Mould, where where he sings the dark lyrics, but he sings them like in a happy way. I get a little, yeah, from the whole city, I get kind of like almost a funny, dark comedy from a lot of their songs is what I get, but yeah.
Definitely. And the producer is Joff Kaufman, or I think Craig pronounces as Kaufman, so I'm not sure, but
Josh
Kaufman. And I know he's produced stuff for Craig solo.
Yep.
And people certainly commented that this album does feel like part Hold Steady, part Craig solo. There's kind of that mix.
So. Yeah, it does. I did get a lot of Craig solo feels coming out of this new album. And so then we did go into Lanyards. Am I saying that? Lanyards?
Lanyards?
Yeah.
Lanyards?
we got that. And like we said, I do remember him playing that at the previous show. A lot of people thought it was kind of plodding at the previous show. So I thought it sounded really good here. Maybe they were in an early version when they played it at their early show, actually the first time they ever played it live, so that could have been. I thought it sounded really good Thursday night.
Right, and by December, yeah, you know, it'd probably been ages since they had really played together as a band, you know, whereas now they've had, you know, some time together, you know.
And that brings up a point. I thought in these first four songs, I thought the band sounded great. I thought Craig sounded a little reserved for Craig Finn. I thought he was playing it. And then by the time we get to the second half of the album or the second half of the live shows, I thought he really kicked in and he was the old Craig Finn.
I noticed that. Yeah, I don't know if he... there's a couple factors out there. One's probably not having an audience. That at first, that's got to be kind of weird. You know, not a full, you know, full stadium or full bowl, if you will. Yeah, over time he did loosen up and start doing his emphatic gesturing and, you know, kind of the typical Craig stuff that everyone loves. And the other theory, apparently Craig has said that he, you know, being a Irish Catholic, Craig Finn, for Lent gives up alcohol, which is pretty impressive, especially for, you know, the head of a, you know, one of the best bar bands ever.
Bar band.
Right? Right? Right?
Yeah.
You know, half their songs involve alcohol, not more. So apparently he said somewhere that he, when he's sober like that for Lent, actually forgets more words, that he's kind of slightly off his game.
Oh, wow.
So that could explain maybe why he's felt a little bit different at first, you know? So.
Wow. That was like, because I remember going to one of his solo shows at First Avenue and I brought a date with me and she didn't know anything about about, and I go, well, I go, one of my favorite parts is he forgets the lyrics, and it's so cool. He makes a funny face when he forgets the lyrics. And then he went through the whole show, you know, doing his animations, but he never forgot the lyrics.
He didn't.
And then the next five show Hold Steady shows or Craig Finn shows I went to, he never forgot the lyrics. And then over this weekend, he forgot the lyrics a few times. And I think it was the new material. I think they've become so proficient at the old, you know, they play like the same, they play 22 songs.
Right.
It seems to be always the same 50 songs, kind of, you know, different orders that they pull from. And I think he's gotten really, I think they've gotten so proficient, but I think when you added these new lyrics in, these new songs in, I think he forgot the lyrics a few times.
Yeah.
So that
they do have eight albums worth of material now. And, you know, two of the albums were within a couple of years, 2019, 2021.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of new material to add after taking kind of a break from releasing any albums. So.
And he doesn't use a teleprompter. I noticed that. And, one of the things.
Yeah, people are joking that he should get one, or that'd be a present for him would be a teleprompter.
Yeah, because I think singing his songs, I mean, when I try to sing along with him in the car, he packs in so many words,
His
songs have to be the hardest songs to sing, so I don't blame him at all for forgetting the lyrics. And I actually I like the part when he forgets them. I don't know, I just like that. But
yeah, trying to sing Hold Steady karaoke is, you know, near impossible. Like, I just can't go that fast, you know.
Yeah, yep,
you know?
Yep.
Anybody, you know,
and he has such complicated turns of phrases. Yeah, just
that's also true. Yeah, totally. A lot of alliteration, a lot of consonants in a row. You know, plethora of poker chips.
Yeah.
From the new album, you know.
Yeah.
Still, like all these consonants in a row that just does not flow easily, but he makes it work.
Yeah. Okay, so then we kind of move into like Family Farm. I know that you were saying that might be your favorite song off the album.
yeah, definitely. Between that and the next one, Unpleasant Breakfast. Family Farm probably has the most classic Hold Steady sound to it for the whole album.
Yep.
Just it's got the guitars blaring. It's got the horns. It's very upbeat. And it builds, you know. It's hard to say what my favorite is, but that's definitely up there. And that's one that they did release, at least on Spotify as a single beforehand. So that was one I had some exposure to. And I loved it from the first lesson, so.
Great song. I often wonder like what order they, and I almost wonder if that wasn't one of the first songs they recorded, because it kind of sounded the most thrashing through the passion to me of all the other songs. So I don't know if it was slightly after that time period or what, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really some of them do sound like they could have been ones that were recorded during that time that maybe they cut and, you know, put on the next album. I do get that feel. I don't know if that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always try to figure out what song they did last that sounds like the next upcoming album, and what's, but it doesn't always work out that way. But I just try to figure that out.
Sure, yep.
Okay, and then we got Heavy Covenant again. I just really love the riff in this song. It's just so heavy and just perfect title, Heavy Covenant. It's just that song comes on heavy.
Right. Yeah, so that fits not just with their heavy Tad Kubler guitars, but also the Catholic and Christian, you know, religious kind of themes that Craig always throws in there. So Heavy Covenant, it's such a Hold Steady name for a song, you know?
Yep. And that's good. And then the next three songs, I haven't gotten into the next three songs as much as the other songs, but when I heard them live, and like we said, this is about the time in the concert when Craig was really starting to pop and the whole band sounded good. Like I thought the Prior Procedure was probably my least favorite song in the album. I like them all, but it was probably my least favorite. But live, that's the one that jumped up the most for me live. It sounded really good live, and I got a new appreciation for it.
Just the energy that they're able to put into it. And live, they also seem to beef up the horns even more on some of the songs, especially some of their older songs that didn't have much for horns.
Yep.
Yeah. So I really appreciated that, you know, as they called it, the super steady, where they have multiple guitars now. They have the horn steady, which is their horn section that they have in. They have Franz on keys. You know, they have the biggest ensemble they've ever had on stage, so the sound is way bigger. So some of this, yeah, some of the second half of the album feels a little bit softer, a little bit slower, a little bit more like Crying Solo, but live, again, they add so much sound to it.
And I think somehow we did we skip like one of the most talked about songs on the album? Did we skip Unpleasant Breakfast here?
Oh yes, we did. Yes.
Because I was just when something you said there, I was just thinking about the Woos, which has been kind of a big online talking point.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me, I think they're going to be counting, and kind of what I thought, I think they're going to be counting on the crowd to provide the Woos when they play it live. Do you think so?
Yeah, that's what people are saying. Yeah, and I don't know if Chris actually said that, but yeah, I mean. That's really something they would do, you know. And that way, it's just like if he forgets the lyrics live with a full crowd, you can have the crowd sing the lyrics. you can do the same thing with the Woos. Those are hard to forget, but I'm sure that'll be a crowd pleaser kind of thing once we have live shows in person. What was your thought on the Woos, or at least your first listen?
On the album, yeah, they really stand out on the album. But I liked them.
Why they're more subtle, it seemed like. Did you feel live that the Woos were a little bit more
Yeah,
subtle?
I think it was just on the keyboard. And like I said, I think they're really going to wait for the live crowd to do that, to fill those in.
Yeah.
Which will be fun, you know, because they're a sing-along band. That's what they are.
Right. Our songs are sing-along songs. Yes.
Yep, songs are sing-along songs. And So, but I really got used to them on the album. I like them. What are your opinion on them?
Same thing. First time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's weird. I don't know. You know, it's like first, it felt intrusive, but after you listen a few times, like, oh yeah, it totally works. And it totally fits the whole setting to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but that's their thing, you know.
And it kind of fits into this. Like I heard, I'm stealing this from somebody online where they said,
that's next.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to purge a lot from,
Right.
Somebody said that in the very next line is where he takes his girlfriend and they're screaming in the empty and they're joking around. And you think of somebody, if you did think a place was haunted, that's some, you would be, the girl would be screaming, woo. And that's what it would sound like, you know, so it kind of fits in there. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's definitely imagery in there that fits, you know, with these ghosts. People describe the images as, which I've definitely heard too, as, similar to like a Shining kind of feel, you know, with the hallways that go on forever.
The 100 miles of hallways, yeah.
Exactly. Well, of course, Craig being alliterative, 100 miles of hallways. So it's a very cool feel. And then the music itself has almost like a nautical kind of thing, a little bit, like almost tropical, you know?
Yeah. Which
is kind of cool. So, it's probably the most unique song maybe on the album for them, you know?
Yeah,
definitely, you know, different drum, different, I mean, they're certainly getting more into different songwriting structure, different drum beats, less traditional, just rock beat. You know, people are making parallels with Steely Dan on some of the songs, you know. it's cool to see kind of some of these directions they're going in that you wouldn't have expected, you know, in their early albums in 04, 05 at all.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and this album, you know, whenever you hear an album, it's always tied to the, you know, the first time you heard it, is, or a lot, oftentimes. And I just had quit my longtime job, and I've started a new job where I work out at a casino.
Wow.
And I have a long, it's out in the middle of nowhere, and I have a long drive to it, so I've been listening to this album. And like you said, we have 100 miles of hallways in the hotel and the casino, and it's
this
one's hit me really hard. I'm like, this whole album is, so yep.
But it's cool. That's cool imagery. Yeah.
So then next, so now we did the prior procedure. Then we got Rip Town. Is this the night that he told the funny little story about how his friend always says when they're throwing a party, he goes, "We're in the Rip Zone" or whatever. I can't remember. I think it was maybe Friday night he told that story. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. I don't remember either. That sounds familiar.
He goes, my friend, he wrote the song because his friend always says when we're having a party, we're in a Rip Zone. And he goes,
Rip Zone.
And we go, and then he goes, sometimes the whole town turns into a Rip Zone. So he called it Rip Town. And yeah. So
it's like the killer parties off of the.
Yeah. The so I don't think he told that story this night, but that's pretty good. And I thought Rip Town, like I said, these next three songs, Rip Town sounded really good live. And they played it the next couple nights, or at least one of the next couple nights. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then Me and Megla, I can't say that. Me and Megla Dina.
Megla Dina, yeah. Yep. Also biblical. Yep. I don't know if you've heard he talked a little bit at one of the shows about the title.
Yep.
That it shares a title with a Monkees song, and actually a Monkees song that came out in recent years, so not back in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
It's funny. Craig said he must have seen that somewhere because the title's too similar, but he said he hadn't heard the song, and when he did play it, he really liked it.
Yeah.
So it's funny how that's literally the same as a recent year Monkees song. It's also, I've also heard it's a lyric in a Bob Dylan song, although it might be reversed. It might be Magdalena and Me. So I'll have to look that up. Obviously, he has quite a catalog. And I can't remember which Bob Dylan song it is. So it's really an interesting story behind just the name.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a crazy name. I can't believe it's popped up on at least two songs like that. And wow, that's crazy. So that sounded good. And then, Hanover Camera, that's a song I really love on this album. I think that's really, yeah, I like their
people definitely draw some of the Steely Dan parallels here. Like some of the horns, the rhythms, you know. Which I've long been a Steely Dan fan.
I thought that it sounds, I think it's got a little, yeah, like everybody's saying Steely Dan. I hear Boss Skaggs a little bit too in there.
Yeah, definitely Boss Skaggs. Yep. Especially later in the song, there's a part where they're doing all the piano and kind of jamming with the horns, and it totally sounds like a Lido Shuffle kind of thing.
Yeah, yep. The same tempo or something. It just, yeah, I love it. It's just great.
Same rhythm. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
Okay. And then they played the, they ended with the bonus track on this album, Parade Days, which is kind of a slower song.
Sure. That's cool that they're completists, that they give you everything. They're not, they're not skimping at all.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I don't think most bands would play the bonus track.
It's, lucky we're not back in the days of the hidden track where you'd have to wait 3 minutes before they played it.
Right. Wait. Yep. On CDs, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, that doesn't play quite as well.
Okay. So do we have anything else to say about night one, Thursday night, the open door policy review?
I'll go back to the first song, the Feelers. That's an interesting one. It definitely, some of the fans I've definitely seen some people saying that that's their least favorite song on the album, or the only one that they don't particularly like. I do like it. Maybe people argue that's a weird start to the album because it does start really slow, but it does kind of build.
So
I think some people wanted maybe like a heavier start, more of a banger, but
it reminds me of the first Sweet Part of the City is the first song on Heaven Is Whenever, and that's kind of a slow.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. But I think I do like that album a lot. I know it's considered somewhat lesser than some of the others, but it doesn't have as much of the horns and some of that stuff. But I'd say the songwriting on it's very strong, and I do like that song in particular. That's a good point. So that's definitely not new for them to start an album like that. And I like it grows. It's like a crescendo. So I think it works. But I get why maybe some people would have preferred something else.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. I know they got some flack for, like I said, back in the day, having Sweet Part of the City be the first song on Heaven Is Whenever. I don't know. It got me kind of into the album. I like Feelers. I think people just need to listen to it a few more times and it really start to grow on them.
I
love the whole album, though. I think I mean, for an eighth album this late in their career, it's just I love it.
Right. Yeah. From 2004 to 2021. Again, I think it's a very creative album. The production's top notch. The mixing, there's a lot more. Maybe attention to detail. Craig's lyrics are very thoughtful as always. There's a lot in the album. A little bit like Steely Dan again, that you can listen to with headphones, every little detail. It all goes together. I think it's a sign that they're really maturing and, showing that they're more than just a bar band with really cool lyrics and cool horns and piano,
I always thought the Hold Steady was one of the best headphone groups, because like Separation Sunday, they got where Craig's yelling at the beginning, he yells in your right ear, then he yells in your left ear, back to the right, and I just
all the stereo effects.
I just love that.
Definitely.
So do you think we got a pretty good wrap on that first night there? Do you have anything else you want to add in?
I don't have anything else. I think that sums it up.
So here's a little idea I had. So instead of jumping into night one of the Weekender here, we're going to break it up a little bit here. This is a little segment we're calling certain shows that get scratched into our souls. And so I wanted to ask you, David, it sounded like you had a good story about one of the Hold Steady shows you're at. Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, yeah. I guess that'd be the last Hold Steady I saw in person, which was literally about a year ago. I'd have to look at the exact date, but
well,
it might have been yesterday, the 6th.
It would have been the same weekend from a year ago, because that's when they do this show,
So this is a tradition they've done for a number of years, and I don't know exactly how many, but the first weekend in March, they play in London, and they, surprising to me, have quite a base over there in the British Isles and in, Europe in general. You definitely get people from Scandinavia and all over, people taking the train or flying from some distance to get to London. So they've been playing there for several years, in Camden in particular, which is a really cool neighborhood, the Camden Market. A lot of rock bars, a lot of tradition there with the band going to bars after shows, hanging out with the fans. So living in America, it's not the easiest to get there, but we did go. That was our first time seeing them in London last year at this time. It's called the Electric Ballroom in London, in Camden. So they do two nights in Camden last year, and then they did one night at Bush Hall. And I didn't go to that show. But it was an amazing show, and just getting to meet all the fans from Europe, hanging out at the pubs. Everyone's super friendly. But if you look back in history, this was about the time where COVID was starting to spread. Unbeknownst to us, we feel like we probably did get COVID somewhere on that trip, because we came back and we were exhausted, more than jet lagged. We couldn't catch our breath, couldn't smell, but it was worth it for the Hold Steady, I'd say. And of course, we wouldn't have gone if we had known that was happening. But, at the time we left in early March, it was something to hear about in China or, very far away. So we didn't really think much of it. But then while we were there, it started to spread through Italy and France and all over. So we got back to the U.S. In Chicago. So drove up to Chicago to fly out. It's way cheaper, and my little brother lives there, so that's always fun. We got back to Chicago the day before all the flights started getting canceled, before people were, being stuck at airports in different places. So we got really lucky that we weren't just, stuck who knows where waiting for days. So pretty wild. So, yes, we saw them at the last Hold Steady show in person and made a vacation of it. Went around London for a few days. We did go to Paris for a couple days. First time I've been to Paris. It's a great trip, but came back, the world definitely shut down. I haven't worked in person since February, because early March was our trip, and came back and everything's over Zoom.
It sounds like you snuck that one in right before the buzzer went off. I mean, you got that show in.
Again, unbeknownst to us, that was going to happen. But again, those UK fans and Irish fans, I mean, they're super insane, but super nice. Super friendly to us Americans. Being at the pond. I mean, yeah, so there's definitely a United scene over there. Again, for this somewhat not that well-known indie band from Minneapolis, who knew that there's a scene over there. So we're hoping to go back next year. Hopefully by then there'll be concerts and we'll be vaccinated, and we could be in March in London.
So that Camden
So.
is that like everything else? Is that like a couple hundred years old, that building or that venue or?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, you're right. I mean, most of the buildings there are, 1800s, 1700s. And I couldn't tell you. It's probably not. So maybe, maybe late 1800s would be my guess, early 1900s. I couldn't tell you. I'd have to look that up. It was a cool venue. It was a lot of fun. And it was tightly crowded, which, again, not good for COVID looking back. But
Yeah.
again, I don't think any of us knew that COVID was going to spread the way it did.
No.
So, yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Great neighborhood, too. Lots to do in that part of town. So.
Okay. So
So
excellent, excellent. So that was a little segment we like to call certain shows. They get so scratched into our souls. I might have to get a sounder for that. I don't know. Instead of me just reading it off, but okay.
no
So then let's get jump into night one of the Weekender from Brooklyn Bowl.
wish we hadn't gone and destroyed it, 'cause I was thinking we could pull it.
Well, here we get to the actual first night of the set list for the Weekender. What did you think about this about Friday night there, David?
Loads of fun, loads of fun. And I don't know if we mentioned it before, but one thing that they did these 3 nights, including the free Thursday show, and they did in December, was they had a Zoom group chat going on as a side to the show. So you could, literally you and a couple hundred other friends in the United scene can watch each other and share pictures, write things on paper, write in the chat. So again, whole day shows are all about the community, and they definitely achieved that despite the fact that it was remote,
Yeah.
which was arguably maybe the best part of these shows, especially December with everything being so cold and shut down and feeling so isolated. But it's like, hey, I actually get to connect with these people that some of them live, 1,000 miles away. So I wanted to throw that in, and I was very happy that they retained that for these shows. Again, that sense of community is, something that whole steady hands fans have that few other bands can approach.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a and there goes your dog, just like these shows.
Same
Everybody had their
thing.
pets for these shows.
Right? She's right on cue there.
Right on cue.
Yeah, she got to see everybody's pets. Got to see kids. Yeah, Craig joked about that, that their fan base seems to have skewed a little bit lower, that the 12 and below crowd is now represented at their shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun though, seeing everyone's cats and dogs and kids. I don't know if you remember from December, one thing that became kind of legendary in their the community is so again, that dogs, cats, all that, turtles, probably not what you expected, but there
Yeah.
someone had two turtles that were actually humping, and that made the screen for a while. And another thing is the band can see all the screens. They can
Yeah.
see the Zoom. So there
Yeah.
is so the band would comment on things. So, I lied. It wasn't two turtles. It was a live turtle and a turtle statue. I'm sorry. My wife corrected me. So, when they
Was it
looked
really? I thought it was.
alive,
Okay.
yeah, it's a turtle statue, like a fake turtle. I guess the turtle was getting frisky. The whole set event, like literally within days, turned that into a T-shirt that you could order on
Yep, they
their
did.
site,
That's
which,
hilarious.
of course, I did. So. How many other concerts do you see a turtle gonna get it on?
Yep. That's hilarious. So I don't know. So we'll kind of hit the highlights of the set list here. They started out with the Feelers again. So second night in a row where they start out with the Feelers. And I thought Craig was a little more confident this time around with the lyrics and stuff. And you think it's kind of funny starting out with a slow song, but usually they will start out with a lot of times since it's the first night, they'll start out with the first night a lot, which is a slow song too. So and they
That's a
have
good point. So, that works.
yep, and that's later in the set here. So then they went right into Construction Summer, which you
Yes,
never know if they're going to
yes.
play that at the beginning or the very end. So we got it at the second song here. That's pretty good.
Yep, that's a classic. That's a crowd pleaser.
Yep. And then
Yep.
third song was Magazines, which I thought sounded really good. Yep.
And then after that, Hurricane J, which is one of my favorites, and they don't always play a lot off of Heaven Was Whenever, so it's
Yeah.
cool to see some of those songs being put back in. Because again, some of the fans aren't the biggest fan of that album because it's a little bit of a departure. I think it's a very solid album, but yeah, I could see where maybe the band can kind of pulled away from some of that for a while, and now maybe they're kind
Well,
of getting that back in tomorrow.
it's a non Franz era song too, so he kind of,
That's correct.
yeah. So I kind of think that's the reason they don't play Heaven Is Whenever and Teeth Dreams as much, because Franz has kind of got to get added back into those songs when he's there. Yep.
You're right that he wasn't on Heaven Was Whenever. He wasn't on the one after that, Teeth Dreams. But again, it's good to see the huge super steady lineup, as they call it, and see that they can add piano and horns to some of the songs that didn't have it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And then I wrote down in my notes here, it was maybe one of my favorite moments of the whole night when he goes, you know how Craig talks between songs? He goes, this next song is about rock and roll. And then they jam into Stevie Nicks, and I just loved it. I thought Stevie Nicks makes my Mount Rushmore a favorite, Hold Steady songs. I just love it. And
Definitely,
and I just love the
definitely.
intro. He just says, this next song is about rock and roll. That's all he said. And they just went into it.
Right, right,
And then they went into Multitude for song six. And then they brought the horn, and I can't say it, the horn steady came out.
Hey, your heart said it, yeah.
And they went to and then they got we got Spices again, which I said that I loved. So that was
Off
good
the
to
new
hear
album,
off the new
yeah, which
album.
has again a lot of guitar, a lot of horns, very driving. And
Yeah.
when I saw them a year ago in London, they did have horns on some of the songs, so that was very cool to see that.
Oh,
Because a lot of
wow.
times, a lot of the see them at smaller venues, Riot Fest or wherever, a lot of times they don't have that, So,
Yeah.
they're it seems like they're really bringing the horns back into their sound in a number of ways.
Yeah.
I think the fans are really embracing that. So.
So yeah, and that's I've been, Craig plays solo here a lot, so I've seen him solo quite a few times. And
Makes sense. Makes
he's had the
sense.
saxophonist with him, and it just it sounds really good. I love it. Yeah, it sounds great.
That's cool. I've seen him solo once, and it was in Cincinnati. And he opened for a local band, the Heartless Bastards.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you're they're really good. Kind of, I don't know, rootsy, bluesy rock, alternative rock, female lead. So it's cool seeing the two play the same stage.
Yeah.
So
So,
yeah, I guess living in his hometown, I assume he probably plays there pretty regularly.
yeah, he had a year where I think I saw him like four times in a year solo just because he came through. One of them was a free festival. So, yeah, it was pretty neat. So then they got the horns. Then they had sequestered in Memphis with the horns. I really like the horns with that, how they added them in. They just kind of do that
Definitely.
quick little bursts in there.
Yep.
And
Do
then
do
they
do 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 do. Oh.
T-shirt Tux was next as the nine song.
That's one of my favorites off of their previous album now from 19,
Yeah.
Thrashing, sorry, Through the Passion.
Easy for you to say,
That
yeah.
one's,
No,
yeah,
just
yeah,
kidding.
Thrashing Through the Passion, right?
That's hard to say, yeah.
Yeah, it is. yeah, I always like that song, especially just the structure of it. How it's got a little bit more complex song structure than some of their other ones, which again, you see, I think, a lot in the new album.
Yeah.
Especially with the horns, which the horns they brought back on their previous album as well, after not having them. So that's always one of my favorites.
Yep, and I liked hearing the Thrashing Through the Passion songs because now they're not the, they've been the newest songs. Now they're not the newest songs, so it's kind of fun to see how they fit into the catalog.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Almost sounds,
Yeah.
yep. And then the last song with the horns was Cattle and the Creeping Things. That sounded good. Loved it.
Classic. Yeah.
And then the horns went away, and we got First Night, which I said sometimes. They usually play first night on the first night of one of these sets, it seems like. Always.
You gotta have to have a name like that.
Yeah, with a name like that. And then here was a highlight for me, because it was down at song number 12. It's another one of my Mount Rushmore Hold Steady songs, was Party Pit. And I love Party Pit. And for whatever, I don't know, because usually they don't have the horns with them. They always play it at number 5, or 90% of the time they play it at 5. Sometimes they'll play it at 6 or 4. But I don't know why, because they don't change instruments. I don't, you know, usually the song placement is if they have to change instruments or whatever. But so I was happy that they pushed it all the way back to 12 here. Usually they get it really early in the show. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder why. Yeah.
I mean, if you look it up, it's always really early, and I would love to ask them why. Sure. and then we got some Teeth Dreams, On With The Business at song number 13.
That's right. Again, not an album they hear that much live. And again, I wouldn't say they have any bad albums, but that's probably the one that's least liked by most bands. Although I do think it's getting some recognition now. It's been, you know, a number of years, I guess. Been like 7 years since it came out, but again, that's the album that didn't have bronze. It didn't have. It was more of a straight ahead rock album. Yeah. The production was a little bit different. Yeah. Craig's voice was a little bit different. So, you know, I don't think it's a. I don't think it has bad songs. It's just a different feel. It felt less whole steady.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's yeah, but I do love that album. And
I do as well. Yeah, I definitely think it's got some good songs. Yeah. Yeah.
And sure. Then at song number 14, I'm sure I've never heard this one live before. It was Our Whole, and here they go with Heaven Is Our Whole Lives from Heaven.
Can't be good. Yep, can't be good our whole lives. Yep.
And it's, I don't know if I've ever heard them play two songs from Heaven Is Whenever on one set list. So that was pretty, that was pretty crazy.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Well, I suppose they've probably played The Weekenders and Hurricane J before. I'm sure they've had to do that before. Yeah. But this time they're coming in with Our Whole Lives, yeah.
That's a good song. Yeah.
So then,
again, another one about being Christian, being Catholic, and, you know, trying to party, but also trying to, you know, follow the rules and do the right thing.
Yep. Yeah. I think that song's really underrated. That's a good song. And then the horns come back out for the next four songs, and they start with Heavy Covenant.
A new one. Yep.
I think Craig forgot the lyrics on this one pretty badly. Yeah.
He did a couple times, yes.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think he blanked out for like 5 seconds.
Well, which again makes sense. It's a newer song.
It's a newer song, yep. And like I said, I haven't tried to sing a whole set list because it would be so hard with their lyrics. And then that he went to Banging Camp, an older song, and then they go to Blackout Sam. Mm-hmm. So again, another Thrashing Through the Passion song. Followed by Entitlement Crew followed him. So
Also from the previous album,
So this is when this is what I said, Thrashing Through the Passion. It was kind of fun to see it not be the newest songs anymore.
Right.
For the last three songs, they go with some heavy hitters. They go with Hood Rat at 19, Southtown at 20, Resurrection, of course. If the band's going to play Resurrection, they'll play it at the end of the show, as they say.
I know. Yeah, I love that off the deal. Yeah, I love how... self-aware, you know, self-referential they can be.
Yep. And then did you have the you said you had the encores? I don't have those listed up here.
Yeah, so they four songs for the encore, so none of their encores are particularly short. So first is Stuck Between Station, another classic, one of their most well-known songs, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Chips Ahoy, a boy, girl, and a horse. I have the t-shirt that says that.
Oh, I love that. That'd be cool. That's
is that awesome. Cool? I got that at, the summer of 19, I guess, before the shutdown at Nashville.
Oh, wow.
I saw them there, which from here is only about 5 hours. So yeah, he always introduces it with a song about a boy and a girl and a horse. So,
yep.
Confusion in the Marketplace, which... again, came off of Thrashing Through the Passion. And then last one being Killer Parties. So.
Awesome.
There you go. There you go. Ending with, again.
What a great show.
Timeless song. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, so that's a total of, let me do the math, 25 songs.
I say 25,
Yeah, that's not a short set by any means.
No, they didn't skip on it at all.
Nope. Okay. No,
So that, I think we got night one pretty good there. So we're going to talk about, so before we talk about night two, we got another one of our segments. And this one I call.
and the meatloaf to the Billy Joel.
That's right. I don't know if you could hear Craig say it, but we call it "And the Meatloaf to the Billy Joel." This is kind of where me or David kind of pick a band that we think would be a good crossover for a Hold Steady fan that they haven't thought of, so or haven't heard of. So do you have a one, David, that you can think of off the top of your head, or?
There's probably a couple I could pick that would fit.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, could you go first?
Can I go first? Yes, sir.
Or did you have one as well?
Yes, I have one. I don't know if I can get it to play here. Bernard Fowler was a background.
You have to work for it, stay with it, pay for it, bust your ass, lie for it, cheat for it, forget about your past. Why so divine the pain of love? You dream of it passionate, you get a rise from it. Feel the hot calm dripping your thighs from it. Why so divine the pain of love?
So, as you can see, I think the Hold Steady crossover is some of the songs are called Dancing with Mr. D. I think he's talking about the devil. Sister Morphine, which kind of being addicted to morphine. And then, of course, they have Sympathy of the Devil, the one hit song. So I think the themes are kind of a good crossover with any Hold Steady crew. So once again, he's Bernard Fowler, and the name of the album is Inside Out. It's remakes of the Rolling Stones, and it came out in 2019, so it's relatively new. So I love it. Give it a shot. Okay, so that has been a little segment we call. Let's see if I can.
And the meatloaf to the Billy Joel.
Thanks for that, Craig. And then, so that brings us to night two of the Weekender from the Brooklyn Bowl. So what did you, again, they sounded great. What are your initial
Yeah.
th what do you remember from night two there,
Well, I'd
David?
say, kind of as you're saying, that over time, I think they got more polished and, definitely got tighter, which is pretty impressive for, again, for a bar band that sings about, drinking and drugs and all that stuff. So yeah, I definitely felt that they're pretty tight, especially the second night, which again, more impressive given I don't know how much time they really had to rehearse given COVID and everything. And again, love that they brought horns out for a number of songs, songs that maybe wouldn't have always had horns. What was your initial impression?
Yeah, I think they always do good on the last night of any one of their sets, or and yeah, and I thought they sounded maybe the most polished on this night. The band sounded good through all three nights, though, really.
True.
So just kind of looking at the set list, they started Hornets is what they started with. That's kind of a they start with that a lot.
Another
Love,
old one that
yeah,
everyone gets into.
about Craig's High School. I love that song. And then Stuck Between we got Stuck Between Stations right there at number two. Seems like they like to put a big hitter in at number two for kind of.
Again, one of their most well-known songs, sadly.
And then they go for three was The Swish. That's always fun, such a fun song. Number four, You Can Make 'Em Like You, which a good sing-along song there is what they like to do. And then they played Lanyard. Wow, did they play Lanyards all three nights? They must have, yes. Huh.
Yes, is that funny?
That's
And
crazy.
again, that's one that they had played in the past, at least a little bit. So.
So they've played that at least four times live now. Wow. That's a lot. And then the Horn Steady came out, and then we got Entitlement Crew again.
Off their previous album now.
And then they stuck with thrashing. The next song was You Did Good, Kid.
Yep. So, and if I recall, I guess I could look up, those two follow each other on the album, which is kind of cool that I think that they, did those two together live. That's actually not true. Okay. They don't go together. But I like that they play two from that album together. Let's
Yeah.
see.
And that sounded good. Yeah, I remember they and then they kind of went to a talking part there, and there you kind of couldn't miss that there was no crowd, 'cause like you could tell Craig wanted to talk, but there's no one to talk to. And then they went into Family Farm, and their final horn song was Sequestered in Memphis. Like I said, I really like how they add the horns into Sequestered. They just kind of do those quick bursts. So then out of those horn songs, then they kind of went into Ex Don't Let Me Explode at number 10. And then so they go with the old, and then 11, and then we're a lot of thrashing. They went with Denver Haircut. And then
That's
number
on the te tequila takeoff, Tecate landing. I love that
yo. Oh yeah.
line.
Yeah, so we had a lot of thrashing through the passion songs, which was great. And then at song number 12, we finally get to, the this whole series was called The Weekenders, and we finally, song number 12, we finally get The Weekenders song.
Yep, the titular song.
Yeah. Yes, very
Yes.
love that song.
It's definitely one of my favorites too. And also off of Heaven Whenever, Heaven Is Whenever. So again,
Yeah.
some of that album being sprinkled in again.
Yeah, and then so speaking of which, then the next song is We Can Get Together. I don't know if I've ever heard that one live before. That's one doesn't get played too often.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so two from that album. Yeah. Heaven Is Whenever. We get together.
Yeah. And then we got Constructive Summer at song 14, which is funny because like I said, sometimes they'll play that song number two like they did the night before. Drop it down to 14, and then the horn section came back out, and oh, I love Hot Soft. That's so, God, I love that. Love that song. That's a song that I got into really late. It took me a while to get into it, but it's really a good song. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Off of Boys and Girls.
And then they played a non non what am I trying to
Yeah,
say?
not out. Yeah, that was
Non-album
not on
title track.
any of the albums. Yeah, this was Esther was released a little bit, I believe, before again the previous album, Thrashing Through the Passion. And
Yeah.
it has some of the same style, and I guess maybe I assumed it wouldn't be put on the album, but it was not.
Yeah, I was really surprised when it was left off. I don't know if it didn't fit with the theme of the album. Well, that album didn't really have a theme because they were just a bunch of singles, kind of. But
True. Yeah, just like that one too. So,
yeah, and I knew that was kind of a fan favorite. It was kind of funny when it was left off, Thrashing Through the Passion, yeah.
it's a good song. Again, biblical, of course, Esther. So yeah, that's cool hearing that live.
And then they went into Massive Nights with the horns, and that was the fun. And then Breakfast they played, and it looks like there was handwritten on my list, so it looks like they added it last minute.
Maybe, and I wonder just because the crowd gets into that song so much, I think maybe they're seeing that that is maybe the surprise like song off the album that everyone gets into.
Yeah.
So
So I'm glad
so
they added that.
played it.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Chips Ahoy, you're just talking about, you got the t-shirt for Chips Ahoy.
Yeah, white girl horse. Gambling bang on horses. It's always fun.
Yep. Yeah, no, yeah, I love that. And then Most People Are DJs at song number 20.
Another oldie.
Oldie that I love
Yes.
to hear. And I think is that I believe they've played that song on the Seth Meyers show, or what's his show, Late Night with Seth Meyers or whatever. And he's a
That's
good
right.
friend with the band, and I think he requested that song, I believe. Seth Meyers. So they played, that's the song
Oh,
they played.
cool.
Yeah, they played that on there once. And then the final song they'll close a lot with is Slapped Actress, is what they closed with on the regular set list.
Good song. Good song. One maybe doesn't get quite as much attention, but one of my preferred songs of theirs.
Yep. So,
And then you
Okay,
get.
and did you have the encore list? I somehow.
Yeah. Yep, here we go. So certain songs, it's so stuck into our soul.
Okay.
That's another beautiful song. Softer, slower. Stay Positive. Again, everyone likes that. With Mosh Pit Josh, which is always fun.
That he's excellent when he comes out on those. I love
Yeah, he comes out doesn't like super like hardcore punk metal vocals.
Yeah.
He definitely thrashes. He's also their merch guy, so he serves multiple purposes. So
Yep.
yeah, I love yeah, he's a crowd favorite. Yeah, he always does a couple lines when they play live in different cities. Chicago Seemed Tired, the next one. And then the last song was Killer Parties.
Killer
So,
parties, yep. And
no.
I love how they always put that on the repeater, or Tad, I guess, clicks it in on the repeater at the
Oh.
end, and it
Oh yeah,
just
for several minutes at least.
several
Yep.
minutes, and it just
Yep.
keeps it just I don't know what it is about that, just awesome.
It totally fits. Yeah, it's just distortion and feedback. Yeah, and it kind of fits with the song. Because the song kind of has like it kind of I was a music major at University of Minnesota many years ago. Kind of has like a feeling like it never quite resolves, you know, like it just kind of floats. And that's so it, which is a perfect way to end the song, where it just kind of goes and it's just kind of noise. So I really like how they do that, and they'll let it play on the stage for a while, and as they did this time, and people stayed on the Zoom and chatted. So, pretty cool way to end.
Very cool. So, did you stay on the Zoom with those people for a while, or?
Just for a few minutes, and then I had some other stuff to do. But I did hear from Facebook that people stayed on for quite a while. That someone brought out their like ukulele or something. Someone brought a guitar. So apparently they were doing some sing-along kind of stuff. For maybe a couple hours even. So yeah, I guess maybe I should have stuck around. So that's a very whole steady thing to happen though, right? People just hanging out and jamming and you know, just enjoying each other. So yeah.
So yeah, so hopefully this podcast will become one of those where we can kind of all get together and talk about the shows that we love. And so that's the Weekender right there. I think we discussed it
That's
all.
it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So
Yeah, lots of
lots to talk about,
awesome.
and hopefully we'll get some live shows. So like I said, we can do some live reports from some live shows, but if we get some more stream shows, I'm sure me and David will be there to cover it, and hopefully get some other people to come on to talk, some other fans to come talk with us.
Yeah, this
Excellent.
is fun. I mean, I could talk to a whole city all day. And not
Yep.
everyone knows them, you know. Some people you talk about them, they're like, what? They're kind of weird. I'm like, yeah, they are, but that's what makes it cool. So,
There is so much joy in what we do up here. A divorced city is thrice speedy, but they throw such killer parties.